Oh, shall I go up? Okay. Sorry, I've got two mics going. Sorry. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Underhill Baptist. It's so good to be back. What a lovely place this is to come and worship. The whole, as we start this morning, because we had a lovely prayer a minute ago about not getting caught up in the routine of the service today, because obviously we know what's happening today with me leading. And miss what God's doing in all of this morning. So I just want us to be mindful of why we're here this morning, and really it's all about what God's doing and honouring Him, and as people are trickling in now. So thank you for having me this morning. It's an honour and privilege to be here as always, and my prayer is that you'd be blessed and God would encourage you and inspire you for what He's doing today. And hi to the lovely young men that just come in. You Sally's boys? Nice to meet you. I've met one of you before, is it Anthony? That one, okay. Good to see you again. Okay, well to start, we're gonna read a scripture this morning. So we're gonna read Psalm, I'm gonna use my phone. My glasses are weakening in my old age. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm in denial. My wife's telling me I need to get my eyes tested, and I think finally I need to give in and do so. So we're going to read from Psalm 100, just verses 1 and 2, just to lead us and to get us into the mode of what we'd be speaking on today. And that is the Psalm of Thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. And just a disclaimer, it says make a noise or a shout. That means if you're not good at singing, you're still included. God's not looking for polished people to sing. And the other verse I'm going to include is obviously Psalm 118, which is, we all know this verse very well. Let me just flag this up quickly. Getting the old eyesight. Here I'm leaning in. Look at this. This is the day the Lord has made, and we shall be glad and rejoice. So as we prepare for worship, I want to just leave this with us. This is the day the Lord has made. And it's not saying, so we'll just be glad. It says, we shall be. It's a decisive action. I'm going to choose to be glad, and I'm going to choose to worship and not think about the week, not think about the pressures of the past or what's coming ahead. I will choose to rejoice. So as we sing this morning, let's choose to rejoice. So we're going to start with the opening song, The Steadfast Love of God That Never Ceases. This song is actually the theme of the word today, and so it's a precious song, and I really pray that we learn nothing else from today, that God is indeed faithful. And we're going to sing the next song, which is Faithful God, All Sufficient One. have an opening prayer of thanksgiving along the theme of God's faithfulness. And I want to open that to everybody to pause and think about how God has been faithful to you in any situation, knowing that God doesn't have to give us anything. He doesn't owe us anything, but he chooses to be faithful. And I'll lead us in that prayer. Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, your word says that even though we are unfaithful, Lord, are you unfaithful? Absolutely not, Lord. You're always faithful. And that, Lord, mostly you don't give us what we deserve, Lord, but you allow your grace to be applied to us. Thank you, Lord, for your unyielding love and unwavering patience for us. We thank you, Father. Amen. If anyone else would like to offer up a prayer for thanksgiving or his faithfulness, then I'll leave a moment to do that right now.
Thank you, Lord, that you are our rock. We can always trust and depend on you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Next song we're going to sing is Give Thanks to the Lord for He is Faithful. We're going to have the, okay, church notices.
Sorry. I'm just checking where it was.
Maybe. Okay.
A very warm welcome to you all this morning. It's so lovely to see you all here. Big thank you to Martin for leading us. And as most of you know, after the service, we'll be moving into the small hall, get your refreshments, and then there'll be a chance for Martin to tell us a little bit more about his story, how he's here, and also for you to ask questions, just to get to know him and his wife, Sandra, a bit better. And following that, church members will be asked to come back into the church, and where we have got a special church meeting. We're also grateful to have Josh with us, our regional minister. Most of you have met him before, but I'm sure you've heard his name, and it's lovely that you're here today. So pray that God will bless us. I'm sure he will. There is a new church diary available. It's on the pink sheet just by the door near where Sally is sitting. So that just gives you some details of what's happening in March. Next Sunday, we've got another visiting speaker. We've got Amanda from the London City Mission. We haven't actually had anybody from London City Mission for a while. And she works with the homeless and marginalised in the King's Cross area. And really looking forward. She's coming both to share about her work, but also to bring us a gospel message. So that's next Sunday. We're pleased to welcome Amanda. This week, we've got our usual on Wednesday. We've got our Hope Corner prayers at lunchtime. We've got the craft group here in the afternoon. But in the evening, our local churches together are having their annual general meeting at Hope Corner at 7:30. Veronica will be going as our rep, and hopefully Ray as well. But do pray for our churches together. They really have got a lot of vacancies on the executive. It just seems hard to get anything going. There's been a lot of changes with clergy. They need our prayers. But everyone is welcome to attend that meeting. It's just obviously only our reps vote. That's Wednesday at 7:30. Just also to update you, Barb phoned me yesterday. You probably, most of you, are aware that she's waiting for this very serious operation on her hip that is just causing her so much pain. She has got to go on Monday for a lot more tests, which is a bit unexpected. They're hoping to go ahead Friday, but she desperately wants to be here this morning. Not sure when. She's planning to come probably for the after service. Oh, she's here. There we are. But she's asked me to say this. She wants to social distance. She's got to make sure she doesn't pick up any germs. So you'll be pleased to see her, but no hugs and no handshakes. Just stay that distance, because we don't want anything to throw. But I tell you, her joy in just wanting to be here, despite the pain and everything she's going through, is just a wonderful testament to her faith, really. She's trusting God. It's going to be a very difficult time on Friday. Wisdom for the surgeons, and just strength and peace for her. So I think so. I'm just going to go around, because I did say I felt
sure. Do you need anyone to give you a hand, Jill?
Sorry to be waiting.
Okay. Okay, so Anthony, you're going to do our Bible reading for us.
This reading is taken from Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 to 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And just by way of disclaimer, I've picked only two verses on purpose. It sounds like a very short read. And I'm going to elaborate that when I in the sermon, so you'll understand why that is. And also what we're going to do is normally we'll have the reading, then the sermon. So we're going to have the reading, a song, and then the sermon. Because we really want to get the faithfulness by Pat Barrett, I think.
Daily, daily, I surrender. Waking my soul to sing. Morning by morning, great is
let's take a moment just to reflect on what we were just singing. Father, thank you for the preaching of your word, Lord, that feeds us. Lord, your word is good for us, Father, Lord. It sustains us, it empowers us, it inspires us, transforms us, Father, Lord. Will and by your hand that we have what we have. So, Father, Lord, as I bring your word this morning, humbly I ask, Lord, that you would have your way, that you would speak. That it wouldn't be me, Lord, God, it'd be you. These are your words, not mine. Help me, Lord, to handle them appropriately and to deliver them faithfully, Lord. Speak, Father, Lord, this morning and encourage and inspire. In your precious name I pray. Amen. New mercies every morning. Gosh, how many times have we said that this morning, right? We get it, God's faithful, move on. Like, no. The reason why I picked this morning and why I chose to deliberately use only two verses is one reason only. I'm going to be honest and open. One reason only. So that I can boast, not about me, but about the richness and the power of God's word. It takes two verses to really do what it needs to do. Lamentations 3, we can't put ourselves in a position where they were when this was written. So our hardships that we have today is nothing to be compared with what's just gone on here. And this lament is written off the back of this extreme devastation. Okay? But I will say this, that Lamentations was also written in a time not only of devastation, but what also it brought was some of the most hope-filled promises ever in such a desperate time. Now, I don't want to turn this into a Bible study. You could do this in your own time. If you go back from verse 3 and read down, and you'll read about what's happening, you'll notice that Jeremiah, or the author's not stipulated, but we suggest it's Jeremiah, is always talking about God in the kind of like the third person until he gets to this statement and then personalizes him and uses the word your faithfulness, you. Okay, so when he's saying the devastation, God's around and we get it, then he comes to God's faithfulness and he says, your faithfulness, your mercies are new every single morning. Now, where I'm aiming for you here is this. Not so much the mercies, which we know we have. It's this word new. And I'm praying and hoping if you get nothing else from me today, you really grasp this word new. Okay? And we're not going to do, maybe Josh can do that or maybe Ray, but I'm not a Hebrew scholar. And I'll probably butcher the pronunciation of the words. But we're going to look at this word, but I want to give you some kind of context. So he wrote these words during the ruins of Jerusalem, a city devastated by war, and the consequences also of sin. So to think that we're not consumed by God at a time where sin is rampant is also a big thing to look at and a big statement to make, right? Because you're thinking God's going to come and he's going to judge sin. Yet in the midst of sin and disobedience and in destruction, somehow God still holds back. And the writer says, we're not consumed by him, for his mercies are renewed, new every morning. Okay. Now what I want to do is this. There's a perspective that we need. How can I make this practical for you and me? There's a perspective that needs to go on the way we think. Now in verse 21, right before 22, he says these words. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. In English, when we read this, we'll miss exactly what's happened. What we read is this. I remembered suddenly the goodness of God and it made me have hope. No. In the Hebrew language, what he's saying here is he's had to force himself to recall something and bring it to mind. Not just go, oh, I forgot. God's good, isn't he? Right in the middle of destruction. No, he stops and it's almost like there's a well behind him and he reaches in and he grabs this thought and says, hang on. God has been faithful throughout everything. And it's almost like he forces himself and reminds himself, I need to remember this. And I'm going to give you a couple of other situations in the Bible to prove this point. So if you want to, go with me to... Sorry, I should have prepared the backroom staff. If you want to put these up, you can. Psalm 73. Psalm 73, and we're going to just read through to verse 17. But I want to help us with this new mercy kind of metaphor or actual reality that's seen in other versions of what goes on. Psalm 73, for me, the Psalm of Asaph, I think personally would apply today for me. But it's not for today, it was for them. But listen to, let's read together. This is an incredible psalm. And what I want you to grasp when you see what happens, because there's an incredible shift that goes on. Now, Psalm 73, it talks about the tragedy of the wicked and the blessed trust, the blessedness of trusting God. Now, I want you to take note of what it says at the beginning and what it says at the end of this. So it starts with, truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, listen to this open statement, my feet had almost stumbled, even me. For I was envious of the boastful, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. They're not plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouths against the heavens, and their tongues walk through the earth. Therefore, his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? Just, can you read what's happening? He's saying, these people are wicked. They don't suffer. They always prosper. They're always healthy. They never lack. And he's kind of going, what's going on? This is wrong. Why is that happening? This is like, doesn't this fit well today when we look around the world? But what's this? And is there knowledge in the Most High? They're questioning God. Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. So he ain't having mercies every morning. He's being chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. When I thought about all this stuff, it was too painful for me. It sounds like he's having his own version of what's going on for Jeremiah, slightly different. Until, verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of the Lord. I love this. These are some of my favorite verses that fire me up today. I'm looking around. People are getting away with murder. Nothing seems to bother them. They've got flash cars, money. They question, they boast. And here I'm trying to serve the Lord and struggling. And I'm like, what? There's something wrong with this. It's not fair. Until I go into the sanctuary of the Lord. Or I come to church maybe and sing and praise and think right. Watch the swift. I'm not going to read through the rest of it. I want to show you the very next verse. This is so interesting. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Surely you've set them in slippery places, you cast them down, etc., etc. And the verse ends with him again giving glory to God. It says it's good to serve the Lord. So why have I just shared that? What changed in that Psalm of Asaph? What changed for him? Anyone tell me? Did circumstance change?
His mindset changed.
He's suddenly encouraged, suddenly understands what's going on, suddenly can see the end game, yet nothing's changed. And everyone around him would be going, why? What do you mean you went into the sanctuary of the Lord and everything changed? Well, unless you're a Christian, you want to understand what's gone on. My eyes have been opened. I realize, wait, it benefits nothing to love the world and serve the world. I gain everything by serving God. I have everything by having him as my father. I'm not lacking anything. All I'm doing is I'm watching everyone else and I'm getting caught up in what they're doing and I'm missing what he's doing for me. Going back to Lamentations, God's mercies are renewed every morning. Well, are they? Or are you not seeing them? Seriously, no, that wasn't me having a dig, by the way. I'm saying, I do the same. We know God's mercies are renewed every morning, and we wake up and I question, do I really know that? Am I really getting the most out of that? I watched a clip the other day. This ain't in my notes, but it just comes to my mind. There was I think he was a Christian millionaire talking to this young couple, and he said to them, how would your life be if I was to give you £1 million? Like right now, put £1 million into your bank account. And they said, it'd be absolutely amazing. And he said, so if I put maybe even a few more million in your account, how would you feel in the morning when you wake up? Would you feel happy? And they were like, we'd be overwhelmed waking up tomorrow. And he was like, why don't you do that normally? What is the millions doing that you can't wake up? And it really hit me. He's like, so you got money, so therefore that makes you wake up happy. But if you don't have money, therefore you don't. What's the millions doing? What does it really count for? And he was kind of alluding to the question of appreciating life, the fact that you do wake up, that you do have a life, that you are healthy. And I thought, it's kind of a similar thing here. And Psalm 73, 1 to 17, he starts with truly God is good, and he ends with, it's good to put my trust in the Lord. So, okay, I've been teasing you about this new mercies thing. Let's get to it. One is the new mercies of God. Okay, so there's a Hebrew word here, and it looks in English, chadash, and I'm sure it's hordash or hordush or something like that, right? Or wudush, like a right hand or a left hook from God, this great, big, amazing thing. And basically what it means is this. Can anyone tell me who's good at Hebrew? Come on. This is Underhill Baptist. How are you not? See you later, Joe. I'm disappointed. No, of course. It means, can anyone tell me what new means in Hebrew? Hebrew, what does the word new mean in Hebrew? Shall I show you? My fancy, I've been to Bible college. It means new. It means new. Does anyone know what new means in English? New. Right, now, why am I sharing this? It's quite funny because what we'd say is we know what new means and we live and not realize that we don't really know what new means. Because we're so used to going along with stuff, we forget what new means. So what does it mean, God's grace or God's mercies are renewed every day? So I made a note here. In the Hebrew language, unlike English sometimes, we just throw words out. To them, it meant something specific. So yesterday's mercies are not the same today. So they have a kind of expiry date. And you'll go, what, God's mercies run out? No, those ones run out. You don't get yesterday's mercies today. You get new ones today, brand new ones. And that really excited me. So I made a few notes because, you know, we need some, being a good Baptist church, we need 3 good points, right? I'm learning that. So one, and I made these for me, but it's good for us. It's not just a continuation, but it's a renewal. Each day offers a fresh supply of God's grace. Mercy that adapts. God gives exactly what we need for today's struggles and challenges. Doesn't care about what challenges yesterday. Today's mercies are new for you, for the ones you're going to face today. 3, a reflection of God's infinite compassion. His mercy is limitless, ever flowing and eternally sufficient. Now, I don't know about you, how many people here have regrets of your past? Or regrets, only 3. Can I see 4? Can I see 4? 4? Can I see 5? 5, 6, 6, 7? 7? We should put both hands up. How many times have we done stuff and you've looked back? Now, we always think about sin, right? No, anything. Things you've done and you've gone, oh gosh, I can't believe I did that. I wish I could go back and do that again. And we don't get a chance. Isn't it good that God doesn't give us a chance to go back? But he gives us a chance to go forward and say, right, we can renew this. I have something to fix that. So a quick story, if you'll just help me here and be with me and listen to this story. And don't get scared hearing this story. So years and years and years ago, unsaved Martin and my family were known in the area for the wrong reasons, to our shame. I'm not boasting about this. I didn't ask for this family. I was given it. And yes, things went on and we got in trouble. And I was a lovely kid. And so if you check my school reports, they always said, Martin's a pleasant boy, but easily distracted. That was me. So I wasn't a bad kid. But I lived in an area that was rough with rough people. So I was a bit like, so I'm kind of joining Isaiah here. I'm a man of unclean lips around other people with unclean lips. And one day, I was in a certain police station, which I'm not going to mention, and I was at the very top floor, sat in the commissioner's office. So this is how big it was. And I was only a very, very, very young kid. And the borough commander looked across the table at me and he said to me, and remember, this is the old days, okay? He looked at me and he said, if I see you in this station one more time, young man, you will never leave. And I was terrified. And he said, do you hear me? And it's the old days when you could really, I mean, he could have clipped me around the ear hole, and it was normal those days. I'm an old schooler. And I was terrified. And he says, do you understand me? And I remember sitting there thinking, yeah, I don't know what I'm doing here now, let alone coming back. And I remember living my whole life terrified whenever I was doing things I shouldn't be doing as a normal kid stuff. I always had that in the back of my mind. But I always regretted getting older. And things didn't get better for me and my family. I'll share some of this maybe afterwards and you can ask me about my life. Very traumatic childhood. I came to faith. A lot of my family members, like Joseph, who had also been doing things they shouldn't, also came to faith. So God had renewed. Why am I sharing this story? I want to share this for you, to show you God's sense of humour, God's compassion, and God's renewed mercies. I lived in kind of regret that my life had always been marred by my family background. I never chose it. I got given it. And it follows you, right? And people remember you for it and you don't want to be remembered. So after the riots that happened in London, we had a new borough commander come in who was a Christian. And anyway, long story short, he came to some of our youth events. We used to run these big youth events and we got talking. And so he ended up having four people, pastors from the local area, that he wanted to have a special council with in his room to pray over Haringey. And I was one of them. Now, it wasn't. Now watch this. I didn't see this coming. It was only when I was in the police building and at the top floor and sat in this office that I remember 30 plus years earlier, little Martin sitting on the desk that was sat in front of me, being told off by the borough commander then, and now here I am, 30 plus years later, as part of the prayer oversight team for the current borough commander, for the area, which I caused more trouble in than good, for the area. And he didn't know this at the time, but I got chills, and then I shared the story in the room, and he was like, wow, and I was like, please don't look up, don't start looking through the records trying to find me. I hope they're burnt. But why did I share that? It mattered to God about what happened in my life. It matters to you what happens in your life. That's why God's mercies are renewed or new in the Hebrew every day. Not perpetual mercies, no. One's for today and a new lot for tomorrow and a new lot for the day after. So go with me quickly to Psalm 19, verses just 1-4. And again, I want to use these to help us understand in this new mercy we have and the impact of it. Psalm 19, just verses 1-4. And then I'll read a little commentary for you. So this is the Psalm of David, the perfect revelation of the Lord. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through the whole earth, and their words to the end of the world. And we go, really? Heavens and the firmament are declaring his handiwork? They're speaking and revealing knowledge day and night? Anyone else catch last night's knowledge in the firmaments? I didn't. I was watching TV. I'm the only honest one in the room, right? No, we listen to this language and we're like, this is quite out there. No, it's saying, almost like God's mercy, is God speaking, creation speaking. Everything is being shown to us. Like a guy, I work in recovery, so I work in a Christian recovery center. And there was a guy that came to faith, a guy that I'd been ministering to. And I remember I have to read their journals every day because we have to see where they're at. And I remember saying to Sandra, my wife, I was so blown and touched, blown away by this, by his journal. And I was like, I thought, I've been a Christian for years. I feel ashamed. And he's writing from, here's a guy that's in recovery, that's lost, gets saved, and his journal says this. Yesterday I was out walking on the high road, and he's like, and suddenly I was aware the different smells, the cultures, the vibrant colours, the sounds of kids giggling in the playground, the smells of different foods. And as he was writing, it's like he had his whole mind opened up to suddenly the place that he lived in every day, he never noticed, now he's aware of everything. And he's taken, writing down, saying, listening to kids playing, different smells, different colours, different people, and he's aware of everything around him. And he's like, wow. And there's me being a Christian for years going, so? You know, I'm dreading going out there in the street and, you know, trying to get that train home that's going to be packed with horrible people. Not horrible, I'm joking. Listen to Benson's commentary on these verses. Now, this is a bit academic wordy, bear with me. It's not the way I would write it, but I don't want to mess this up. He says this, there is one glory of the sun which shines forth by day, and there are other glories of the moon and of the stars which become visible by night. And because day and night interchangeably divide the world between them, they are therefore represented as transmitting in succession to each other the task adjoined them, like two parts of a choir chanting forth alternatively praises of God back and forth. Listen to this, though. I love this bit. Thus, the instruction becomes perpetual. Every day and every night renews or repeats these documents and demonstrations of God's glory. Here's the bit for us. So that he who has neglected them yesterday has an opportunity put into his hands again from benefiting from them. Saying, what I just shared with you now, if you're going, oh, well, I missed that, Martin, I missed that yesterday. This guy's saying, no, we get a chance to do it again tomorrow. And you'll get another chance to do it again the day after. God's new mercies for us, and I'll end here, are not perpetual mercies. Not, okay, it doesn't matter because it will just be good again tomorrow. No, tomorrow's going to be new for me. That means I can put back regrets from the past, put back regrets from yesterday, and knowing that the next day's mercies are absolutely brand new. They've still got the price tag on them. They haven't even been opened yet. And I think that's a lovely feeling for me, thinking, because I know. Let me ask a question before I close with my last points. Why, this is a highly theological, deep academic one. Ready? Why are God's mercies renewed for us every single day? Who spoilt it? Who said that? Because we need them. How good is God, family? How good is he? That he puts in knowing that we're going to fail, we're going to mess up, we're going to get it wrong. He loves us so much that what he does, he puts within the framework these mercies that are going to renew for us to help with that. So that he doesn't have to wake up and be, oh, just disappointed again. He puts in these mercies where he's like, he can still love us. He can still, like, who's got kids? How many frustrated? You've got a brand new one. Yours is still not yet. You're not there yet. the more scarred parents from kids. Right? No, it's great. You learn so much from them. Because what you learn about God and you is what you see for your kids. That they can frustrate you. They can let you down. They can really disappoint you. But you can never stop loving them. And they can drive you crazy. But you can't stop loving them. And I think, well, that's just me. How's God seeing us every day? Through his lens, not through mine. I'm just a human. Okay, so I've got an application for us. Application. One, and these are things I've applied for my own life. Start your day with gratitude. Write down for yourself, apply Lamentations 3, 22, 23 to your life. Write down some things that you can be grateful for and then allow them to strengthen you throughout your day. Or, as you said, Jill, help allow them to shape your perspective for the day. Two, trust God in your struggles. When life feels overwhelming, remind yourself of God's faithfulness. And three, and this is my favourite one, extend that same mercy to others. This week, look for an opportunity to extend mercy to someone, and especially someone who needs a fresh start. Thankfully, I work in the business of doing that, which I really thank God for, of second chances, continually second and third chances sometimes. And I love that. But hey, doesn't God give us the same thing every single day? Anybody been encouraged today? Everybody understands the word new, what it really means? Not secondhand, not just continually, brand new. This morning, right here this morning, God's mercies are brand new for us. Let's pray. Wow, Lord, thank you for your mercies that sustain us and your compassion that never fails. Help us to wake up each day, Lord, with a renewed sense of hope, trusting in your faithfulness. May we extend the mercy you have shown us to others and reflect your love in a world, Father, Lord, that so desperately needs it. I ask that, Father, in your precious name. Amen. Thank you for having me today. Thank you for listening to me today. I pray more than anything else that you are really encouraged. So we're going to, as a response to this hymn, I think it's right that we do this. So to this sermon, we're going to have another hymn and we're going to sing The Splendor of the King. Do you want to do the prayers? Oh no, sorry. Prayers of intercession. I'm ahead of myself. Sorry. There you get into your own prayer. Tommy, please come up and lead us in the prayers. My bad, sorry.
So today is good to hear God's mercy is like manna, is freshly provided each day. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, on the day you've allowed the Babylonians to destroy Judah, it was not an act of abandonment, but a righteous judgment for their disobedience to your covenant. Today, we are deeply aware of our sins, our disobedience, our forgetfulness of your ways. As we look around our society, we see many believers becoming non-practicing Christians and our communities drifting towards secularism. We long to help, but the world around us seems indifferent, just as we, at times, fail to see and understand those in need. Yet, Lord, you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Every morning as we waken, your unfailing love enters our hearts anew. As your word in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 23 reminds us, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for without it, we would be consumed by the distractions and temptations of the world. Your word gives us hope. Your love and kindness surround us through fellowship of church members and the care of our families. Through them, we feel your compassion and grace in our daily lives. Lord, have mercy on our souls. Renew our spirits, strengthen our faith, and guide us to be the salt and light in the world that so desperately needs you. Help us to stand firm, not with condemnation, but with love, reflecting your patience, kindness, and truth in all we do. May we never take your mercies for granted, but live each day in gratitude and devotion to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tommy. That was great. Sorry, now we're gonna, as a response to the sermon, have a closing hymn. the splendour of the King, and then going to hand over to Jill, and you're going to bring the children through.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice. Trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Time is in.
Yeah? So tradition, so we're going to turn to each other and say the blessing. Grace of God, Jesus Christ, and the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. It's been a pleasure being here with you today.
Finished yet, Martin? So.
Oh, do I stay here?
Just to explain again to those who might not be sure, I'm going to encourage you to go as soon as you can into the small hall, get your cup of tea, coffee, your nibbles, and then we're going to have this question and answer, getting to know you session with Martin, all in the small hall. We've got a lovely number here. Everyone's welcome to stay to this. Please feel free to ask questions. And just get to know Martin a bit more. And then after that section, the church members will be asked to come back in for our special church meeting. So if I just encourage you, as reasonably quickly as you can, to go through and get your refreshments, and then we're going to get to know Martin a bit better.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.